Hello, 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 and welcome to the Owl Boost Podcast. I'm your vibrant hostess, Alison Sawatchka. Welcome to a new episode of the Owl Boost Podcast, and this episode is on fire like any other episode. If you're new here, hi, I'm Elle. If you're coming back, welcome back, baby. You know what's good for you. You're back here because you know what's good for you. I am so excited for this week's episode. I mean, I'm always excited for every episode anyway, but before we get into that, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to everybody who listened to the last episode, and thank you to everybody who continues to listen. Thank you to you, baby, who's listening right now. Thank you to the Owl Boost podcast team for keeping me going, and thank you, Tanya Rotkwa, for the podcast art. Right, you guys, so I noticed that I do this thing at the beginning of every podcast that I go, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I've decided to make it an actual thing. All this time I do it kind of subconsciously, but now I want to make it a thing. And this is where you guys come in. I need help to name that part of the podcast. I was thinking Gratitude Center, but guys, yeah, You can be honest with me and tell me that's boring. I know there's more creative people out there who can come up with a better name. There's more creative people who listen to this podcast. So what are we going to call that beginning part when Allison is going, thank you, everybody, thank you. She just called it thanks. Thanksgiving ceremony. Oh, no, guys. Can you see? I'm terrible. So I need your help. So comment down below and tell me, what do you think I should call it? Comment anywhere you are. There's a comment section on YouTube. I'm pretty sure there's comment sections everywhere else you can listen. You can access the podcast. You can even comment below the post for this episode, or you can send a direct message to the Owl Boost podcast. Or if you are one of those people, you can email the Owl Boost podcast at gmail.com. I will open the emails gladly. So what are we going to call it? What are we going to call it? Now, this week's episode, at this point, like at the time of recording, honestly, guys, the truth is I haven't decided what I'm going to call this episode. I was stuck between Jailbreak Chronicles and How I Met My First Boyfriend for the First Time, but that second option is so long. How I Met My First Boyfriend for the First Time. Yo, it's so long. And like putting that in like the descriptions and stuff like that, it's just a lot. So I was gonna go with Jailbreak Chronicles initially, but now I'm thinking, is that really what we're going? It's like I'm having trouble with naming things. I can't name the first part of the podcast. I can't name the podcast itself. Get a grip, Allison. So I don't know. We'll just see at the end of the episode what we're going to call it. But basically, the story this week is about how I met my first boyfriend for the first time. Okay. It's not exactly how I met him, but it is in a way. But let's get into it. You guys will understand when we're in the story. So the very, very first time I had an encounter with this boy was at a Golden Girls tournament. So a Golden Girls tournament is a hockey tournament at my ex high school that we used to have. And I went to an all girls high school. So we used to have this girls hockey tournament, and then the boys would come to support their girlfriends and also to come fishing for girls, because you know what it is, it's an all girls school, and other boys from boys schools would come. It was like the time of the year of that particular term. I think it was second term, so in the middle of the year, you know. And it was great, man. It was always great to see the fine creatures of the other gender, to see God's marvelous work in the handsome boys, because some of them were really, really scrumptious. But let's not get into that. So this guy came for this tournament, but he actually came to see a friend of mine. And so my friend came and called me, and she said, Al, there's a boy, we need to go. And I said, oh, okay, I will take you there. But I was a goody two shoes a little bit at that point. So, you know, I was like, okay, I'll take you there. But, you know, social distancing, because we had this thing where you had to be a meter away from a boy in high school. I don't know what they thought we were going to do. Like, in front. Wow. Anyway, so right, we go see this boy. Oh my goodness, he was handsome. He was so cool. He was so cool, you guys. He had a piercing on his eyebrow. That's the first thing I saw, and I said, young men, ooh, what? Wow, ooh, you're. Can you see? I don't even have words, and this is so many years later. Like, I was wondering, what did his parents say when he left the house? Or do his parents even know that he has this eye piercing? Or is it real? Or is it fake? You know, but it was so cool, you know, because we were in high school. And at that time, I was about 14 or 15, 14, 14, form two. Yeah, 14. And, you know, so I was looking at this young man like, do your parents let you out with an eye piercing? And especially with my background, it just was screaming rebel. And you know us girls with rebels. There's something about good girls liking bad boys or whatever. But trust me, I'm over that phase. Only good boys my way. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye. And so I look at this boy. He's cool. He's got tattoos, but like not like tattoo parlor. That was not going to come out. Tattoo parlor kind of tattoos. No, they were like under the tree. We have some ink and we have some. I don't know how boys do it, you know, like they tattoo themselves. I never went through that phase, so I don't know how to do it, but he had one of those. So they weren't professionally done. And in English, that basically means it was, you know, naughty vibes. Naughty vibes, like kind of tattoos. He had ear piercings, which I ended up discovering that they were actually not real. Those were magnetic. But the one on the eyebrow was real. And he was dressed so well. So this is when I first had my first. And there was a lot of firsts in that. This is when I had my first encounter. With boyfriend, because that's what we're going to call him. I'm not going to expose him because I'm not about to get sued. They that know him, and they that don't know him are going to know him through me, right? So that was a description of like my first impression of him. And I was not into boys. I was just a young Christian girl. I was just focused on my life, was just focused on school. yeah. And so he actually. We said hi to him and his friend and stuff like this. And we ended up exchanging Facebooks because this is what was the thing at that time. And that was it. So your girl went for a volleyball tournament. Yes, 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 you heard that right. I went for a volleyball tournament. Yes, I was active. Mm-hmm. Those of you who know me now know that that's questionable. It's questionable, but like, yes, I went for a volleyball tournament in South Africa, and whilst at this tournament, boyfriend and I were talking on the phone. He wasn't my boyfriend at this time. This time he's just person I met. So person I met and I are talking over the phone on Facebook and stuff like this, and we're really getting along. And then he asks me to be his girlfriend on Facebook. Now listen, Judge Judy, we don't do judging here, so I will not be judged for accepting a boy who asked me out on Facebook. And I said yes. So by the time I came back to Zimbabwe, I was booed up. I was all the way booed up. And you know, he was like, baby, we need to make a plan because I need to see you, baby. And I was like, all right, baby, we'll make a plan. We'll make a plan. So those days I was still a day scholar because I ended up being in boarding school. I was a day scholar. And during the weekend, I took a very long shower, a very, very long shower. And I suspect that my mom was already like, this girl. Bathing for an hour. Wow. Miracles. And I had this red velvet dress that my mom passed down to me. Oh, I loved that dress because it created things that were not there. It enhanced features that were not there, like the curves. I was really skinny in high school, you know? And so this dress gave me curves. I looked like someone who was about to walk into a jazz night or something in that dress. It was absolutely stunning. So put on my dress, which wasn't suspicious because I used to wear it all the time. Then I went to my mom and I was like, ah, mom, can I please have money? I want to go to the shops to buy bread. There's no bread and there's no milk and, you know, just, yeah. And my mom was like, ah, great. So she gives me the money and I left the house with my little brother because little brothers, little siblings, or favorite siblings rather, are your insurance. Because when you live with them, your parents think that they have a little snitch, but hey, my little brother ain't no snitch. And but my little brother didn't know where we were going. I didn't say anything to anybody. The plan was to leave the house, really go to the shops, but I wasn't going to buy bread only. I was going to see boyfriend. Okay, so we went to the store, my brother and I. We get to the parking lot of the store, and out of the Jeep comes this handsome boy. He came out of a Jeep, and I was like, hooky. And I mean, it made sense because he was about 17. So, in my country, you already legally can drive if you have a license, of course. And he's walking out of that. I remember every single detail about that day. I remember exactly what he was wearing and all of that because first boyfriend, first time, first, you know? And so he comes out of the Jeep. He's got his eye piercing, so it's real. He's got his ear piercings, tattoos are showing. We get into the grocery store. He's being such a gentleman. Guys, I'd never experienced this before, so you can't like judge me for being fascinated at this point. He was carrying the groceries when I was just pointing at things, and then he'd get it and put it in the basket. And oh, I don't know what number of the clouds I was in, number 17 maybe. Ah, cloud 16, you know. There we are. My little brother was tremendously annoyed because he didn't know that this was my plan all this time. So we get out of the grocery store, we're walking home. So we didn't take his car home because that was an option, right? We didn't take his car home because we're like, ah, if we walk home, it'll take longer so we can spend more time together. Okay, great. So we're walking, and then my brother just snapped, and then he decided, yo, look, I'm going home. Now, the dilemma. I can't let my little brother go back home without me because obviously my mom is going to ask about my whereabouts. And I needed more time with the bae. So there's no way my little brother could go home because it's just no, right? And my brother was so insistent he wanted to go home. And I was like, why, little boy? Why do you just want to ruin my life? Why? And he was like, look. So my little brother negotiated with me. He says, I will go home, but I will not enter like the yard or the compound. I don't know what you call it in wherever you come from. We call it a yard. So I won't get inside the yard. I will just play outside until you come and then we'll get into the house together. Then I said, you sure? He said, yeah, I'm annoyed, but yeah, sure. And then I said, okay, because I mean, it was his idea, right? And then so my little brother took the groceries. Me and boyfriend continued taking our walk, right? Oh, guys, the conversation, it was on fire. He himself, he was on fire. And your girl was not dressed to play with somebody's son. Your girl was dressed to kind of like say, you know what, I'm just a humble girl, but like bringing the fire and the heat, you know? So we took a walk for a while, And my phone was on silent because who wants to be disturbed when they're with their boyfriend? You know what I mean? Nomzane. And so when I eventually checked my phone, ew. Thirteen missed calls from my mom. Yo, like the number 13. I really, really believe that the number 13 is bad luck, because what was that? 13 missed calls. 1, 3 from my mom. And I was like, yo, whoa, have we really been taking a walk for that long that there's 13 missed calls on my phone? And I showed my boyfriend and I was like, it looks like we're going to have to cut this short. I think I'm going to have to go home. Just as I'm in the middle of saying that, another call comes in. This time, it's from our house help, like the maid, basically. And so I pick up, and guess who's on the line? My mom. Oh, she was even more furious. She was like, so I call you countless times, and I use this phone to call you one time, and you answer? She was so offended. She was like, so you won't answer my calls, but you'll pick CC's phone. And I was like, no, my phone was on silent. I'm literally coming from checking it. She didn't believe it. She just thought I was avoiding her and I was dodging her and stuff like this. And she's like, where are you? And I said some random place along the way home, though. And she says, you're lying. And I said, a woman? She says, you're lying because I just passed through that place twice and you're not there. I guess the heat got turned all the way up. I knew that if I don't die today, I don't know what else is going to happen. I don't know. And I was like, no, I'm on my way home. But within the road, I'm in a road within the road. You know, I was just trying to get my way out of it, you know. And she was like, okay, I understand you. I need you to stop exactly where you are. I'm coming after you. Guys, and she hung up. Boyfriend, kiss on the cheek. Boyfriend goes that way. Allison runs that way because I have to go. I had to go to the point I had said I was. So I had to run to get to that point because she was coming for me. That's what she said. She says, I'm coming for you. Yo, by the time she arrived, I was like a couple of meters away from that particular corner. And she was like, why are you not precisely at the corner you said you were at? And I was like, I was just pacing up and down. I was just stressed, you know. And she was like, don't you lie, little girl. Don't lie to me. Don't do that. Let me describe this scene for you. Allison, red dress. Now my feet were dusty because I'd been running. And mom is in the car talking to me outside the car. This is what it looked like. And she's saying all these things. Who are you with? And, you know, I was walking with Bay and we were holding hands. Sometimes we were hugging. So his perfume was rubbing on me. So I guess if you have a sharp sense of smell, you could have picked it up, maybe. But she was in the car. She was like, who are you with? I said, I was with nobody. Why do you think I was with someone? I was just taking a walk just for some fresh air, because we are always in the yard. If not in the yard, we're at school. I was just taking a walk. And so she was like, so why outside the gate alone? Ooh. Yes, again, another moment. You guys, I had no explanation. I was like, he didn't want to take a walk. He said he was tired. So I said, I'm going to take the walk on my own. And my mom was like, you're lying, but we'll figure that out. And a lot happened. Finally got home. And my mom decided to discipline me. You know, yeah, you know the type of disciplining I mean. She disciplined me. And she disciplined my brother a little bit for covering for me. But she really went down. She really, yeah. You know, the word of God says, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. But those weapons, they prosper. They prosper all the damn time. They prosper. If you guys have been disciplined in that way before, you just need to drop a like. You need to comment and tell me what weapon was used. Disciplinary weapon was used on you. So this is what happened. Went to my room. I was crying. My mom left the house because she had to go somewhere anyway. And I called my boyfriend. I said, baby, can your parents pay my school fees? I said the exact amount. And then he was like, yeah, sure. And I said, yeah, because I can't do this anymore. I can't live here. I think I'm adopted. And I'm one of those people who really seriously looks like their mother. I look like my mom. There's no way I was adopted. I don't need a DNA test to prove that she's my mom. Our eyes, the everything. Wow. And I was like, I think I'm adopted because how can my mom beat me up like that? I think my brother is the real child and I'm just not the real child. So I'm moving out. And he was like, yeah, sure. Hi, young and dumb. Can you see how love makes you lose all common sense? Or whatever that was at that age. So, I recorded a video and I was crying and I was saying how I thought I was adopted and how I just basically can't do it anymore. And they just don't want me to be happy and all of this. And my father came back home. And my mom had been home also. And my father's wife, my mother, told her husband the story. But she told him her version of the story. And if you have a mom like mine, you just know that when this story is escalated, it is also escalated in the details of the story. It was so exaggerated. My mom says she came back home late. Now, guys, let me explain to you. I left the house to go see my boyfriend at like 12 p.m. My mom caught me in the road at like 2 p.m. It usually would take half an hour to go to the store and come back. So my mom made it seem like I came back home at like 6 p.m. She was like, she came home late. She didn't even come home. I actually had to go and collect her from where she was. Oh, you guys, you have no idea. My dad is just looking at me like, what? You did what? And it was crazy. It was so exaggerated. It was one of those moments. And I was really looking at her like, Mom, is that what happened? Is that what happened? Because anyone else who would have been listening to that story from my mom's perspective would have really thought that I left the house at 6 a.m. and came back at like after midnight. Because she really was like, she came home late. In fact, she didn't come. I had to go. And I went twice. I looked for her. She was not there. I don't know who she was with, you know. And my dad asked me a couple of questions. And I answered to the best of my abilities in that moment. And he just took one of those weapons of disciplinary weapons. That's what we're going to call them. And he disciplined me yet again. Guys, at this point I was convinced that I really am not their child. No, it's not possible. No. And I felt so bad. I felt so unwanted. I felt so condemned. I felt like there must be something seriously wrong with me. Because is it just me or when African parents, I don't know if it's an African thing, but I'm speaking from the perspective of a young Zimbabwean girl. When your parents beat you up, they used to say a poem. A poem. I'm going to say it in my language and then I'm going to translate it. Hatini, Jeku, Itirwa, Zinu, Zisina, Basa. It's like with every syllable, we don't want a naughty child. And each time, each syllable is, you know, the weapon landing on a part of your body, basically. And so they would say all these things whilst they were disciplining me that made me feel like I was beyond repair. Like I was like this thing, this person, and I was just beyond repair and they had to like take all the measures that they can in order to restore me. I felt ashamed. I felt I felt like I was a problem, you know. And so because I felt like that, I felt like there's no saving me, right? So I might as well live my best life. So after that incident, I started actually sneaking out. So in this incident, I didn't really sneak out per se. I went out, went to the shops, bought the bread, but that was not the agenda. The agenda was to go and see my boyfriend. But like after that, I started proper sneaking out, as in check the left, check the right, sneak out, come back, check the left, check the right, sneak out. And I will tell you about one of those on very interesting episode of that in the next episode probably. But yeah, because so I started acting out because I felt like there's no saving me, so I might as well do the most, like, because I'm wrong. And that brings us to our ooh wow. Ah, you guys, this has to be my favorite ooh wow from the entire season. This ooh wow, I actually gave it a title because it's that good. So I'm not actually having troubles with naming things. My brain's just glitching sometimes. And the title of this week's ooh wow is Condemnation versus Conviction. Yo, so in the story I just told you guys, I felt condemned. I felt like there was no saving me. So I'm just going to live my best life. I'm going to continue doing the thing that you just disciplined me for. I'm just not going to get caught, you know? And so I felt condemned. So condemnation versus conviction. This came from when I had a revelation this week. I was talking to one of my friends and I was telling him, he was telling me his story, and I was telling him, my friend, as long as the fact that you still feel guilty means the Holy Spirit is still speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit stopped me right there. And it's a thing I've been saying for the past 23 years of my life. I say it all the time, like, as long as I feel guilty, it means the Holy Spirit is active. And the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, sister, you've been lying to yourself and other people too. This is the truth. Condemnation versus conviction. Let me show you something. So we're going to start from the Bible. What the Bible says about condemnation, what the Bible says about conviction. Condemnation from the Bible comes from Romans chapter 8 verse 1. And it reads, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. Right? What does the Bible say about conviction? John chapter 16 verse 8. And then he comes, he refers to the Holy Spirit. And then when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment, right? So we have condemnation and we have conviction, and we are hearing here from the Bible that there is no condemnation, but the Holy Spirit convicts. So what's the difference between the two? So your girl did a little studying, because I gotta give you quality content here. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So the word, the Greek word for condemnation is katakrima, and this basically means damnation, verdict, judgment, the sense of an immediate sentence to eternal punishment. And it brings with it feelings of guilt, fear, shame. Right? And the word, the Greek word for conviction, though, is elegko. So it's not the same word. Elegko, which means to call to account or to bring to light what is wrong. So instead of guilt and fear and shame and all those feelings, it brings about remorse and repentance. Right? So to bring it down a little more, condemnation basically points at you as being the evil one, or you as being the wrong one, or there's a problem with you. So it almost suggests that there's no saving you because you are the problem. And the only way to solve you as the problem is to sentence you to damnation, or to punish you, or to, you are the problem. But conviction, on the other hand, suggests that what you did, so it's your deeds. So what you did was wrong. Your deeds are wrong, right? Not you, your deeds, what you did, right? So it means that you can change what you do. You can change your deeds. There's repentance, there's coming back from that. Condemnation suggests that there's no coming back from it because it's an inherent part of who you are, right? So as a result of condemnation, we end up living the way we want to, or we end up continuing to sin or continuing to do bad things because we feel like that's a part of who we are. With conviction, though, we realize that our actions can be changed and we can be saved and things can be better. So this is how this is the difference between condemnation and conviction. And so in that situation with my friend, the Holy Spirit was saying, I don't make you feel guilty because guilt is of condemnation. I convict you. I bring to light what you've done wrong so that you can repent. One of my favorite preachers says, God reveals to redeem, not to like make you feel some other type of way, right? And if I'm to take a biblical example of this, you know, the story of Paul, the Apostle Paul from Acts chapter 9. So basically, for those who don't know the story, there was a guy, his name was Saul. He always used to condemn Christians. He used to persecute them. He used to kill them. He did not like them. And then one day, on his way to a place called Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus. He got blind and he ended up getting saved. Very long story short, right? Saul used to condemn Christians, so he'd sentence them to death. He would kill them. He would persecute them. He would condemn them. But Saul was convicted by Jesus Christ. So Jesus brought to light his actions as being wrong and saved him. And we know Saul to be one of the greatest apostles of all time. He got his name changed to Paul. So Apostle Paul, Saul, and was Saul before. Am I making sense? Yeah, making sense. Yes. And he's one of the greatest apostles in the Bible now. So he got saved. Condemnation says, we cannot change you. This is who you are, you know. But conviction says what you've done is wrong, and we can change that, and we can save you. Because as long as you're called according to Christ, as long as you belong to Jesus, as long as you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is no condemnation. But when you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit as well. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin. So he will bring it to light, say, hey, you could do better in this place. So there's that distinction, right? This has to be my favorite wow, because I had to read. I learned so much from what I read about it and the way the Holy Spirit was ministering to me and all of this and all of that. And I was so excited to come and share this with you guys. Later on, after my sneaking escapades in high school, I ended up having a revelation of how the Holy Spirit was convicting me of my bad actions. So eventually I stopped sneaking out and acting out. But I will tell you all about my sneaking out chronicles probably in the next episode, so that I really explain to you guys my high school life. But yes, darling, we have reached the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to like, to comment, to subscribe, to rate 5 stars if you're on Apple Podcasts. Do whatever you do to boost the boost wherever you listen to it from. And with that, may God bless you and may God increase you. Bye.